So there's this word on the street that's trending. It's called kachihandi.
Kachihandi. So it means conversation. And in this case, it means conversations we're too scared to have.
Oh, okay. Now I understand.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to Kachihande. I'm excited today. My big brother is here. Ama, how are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm ecstatic. I'm excited.
I'm about to make you a superstar.
Definitely. And most importantly, it's a privilege to be on your podcast. I've heard so much. And then as well, it's a big example for my family, inclusive of the my two daughters and, of course, my wife, because this is really the future.
Indeed. And I'm so happy that you've mentioned you. So, Ama, how many years older than me are you? Four?
I think four.
It's four, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. And you have... Yes, you've mentioned your two daughters. Exactly. And I think that's what we're here really to talk about.
Definitely.
We are here to talk about you being a girl dad. But before we get there, do you remember the feeling you had when you found out that you were going to be a father the first time?
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. It was a feeling of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
A feeling that you get that is... how can I call it? Fear mixed with excitement. You're thinking, well, what's going on here? Am mm-hmm. I ready? Mm. Am I good enough? Mm. How am I going to fit in the big shoes of my parents?
Right.
In short, and my grandparents at large. So.
Okay.
It was a confusing, exciting feeling.
Did that feeling change when you found out that it was a girl?
Definitely not.
Really?
No. I'll tell you one thing.
Mm.
For me, the one thing that crossed my mind, especially when my wife broke the news to me that she was pregnant, was the fear. That how is the child going to be conceived? Is this a healthy child?
Right. So you were more like, is the baby fine? Is the baby okay? Right. Okay.
That's
the only thing you were thinking about.
That I was concerned about.
Okay. And then when you found out that you were having a girl again?
You know, a child is a child. I was happy.
Okay.
Mostly because I was excited because my older daughter was going to have a sister.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I hear from the many conversations I had before that sisters usually have an unbreakable bond.
Right.
They usually look out for each other. So for me, that was very important.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now, our conversation today, I sort of want to get from you.
Yeah.
Like in 2022, okay, where like fatherhood is happening, the backdrop of things like Dubai scandal, these girls going to Dubai to do questionable things for money. You have our own Zambian setting, the people who leave the house forgetting their clothes, and you know, just in terms of representation of women, there have been incidents where you're like, these girls.
Exactly.
And now, because social media is so out there, this sort of lifestyle is being presented by these girls. And we know that some of their life, you know, some of the way they are making their money is not in morally conventional and morally acceptable ways. Mm-hmm. As a father of two girls, when you look at that, do you have any fears about what your daughters are looking at and who is being blasted? for them?
From my side, I look at it this way.
Mm-hmm.
With the digital transformation that we are undergoing as a country, as a society at large, you're going to find that certain aspects of life are going to be portrayed in a number of ways.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, that fear is there that my daughters may pick up something that's not morally acceptable in that course. But then I look back to say, who are they exposed to?
Right.
Okay. Yes, we have the internet, the social media. If you don't regulate that, and by regulating it, I don't mean it in a dictatorial type of way, by having the conversations that need to happen.
Right.
I say that because I've got cousins. I've got a sister. Okay. And these are people who've been raised a certain way. It's not like their parents, their guardians were so strict that they couldn't, for example, visit their friends, visit boys or anything like that. They could do those things. But it's because of the values that were enshrined in them. So they were told. For somebody to, how can I put it? For somebody to understand something, you need to tell them the purpose.
Right.
Once they understand the purpose, then they'll never deviate from that.
Right.
So that's very important. So even for my daughters, we sit down. Nowadays, you can't really see what they can see and what they can't do, you know, in terms of filtering. But then, once they see something, you need to be open enough to have an open mind to have that conversation with them.
Okay.
Not deeply, but to their level of understanding.
Right.
And allow them to be inquisitive and then provide those answers.
Okay. So you talked about like values.
Exactly.
Now, you being a father to these young ladies, I mean, the oldest is 10, but at their age now, this is like the formative years of you building their, I don't know, their character, their value system.
Exactly.
What's that like in 2022? So, and I say this because, as you said, like there are certain things that they're seeing on TV or they're seeing, they may, I don't think they're on social media quite yet.
No, they're not.
But eventually they're going to get there. But also their friends may have, because obviously in terms of filter, there are some parents who, like, you are free to see what you want.
Exactly.
What's your processing in terms of giving them the values that they need, which you hope that can keep them from some of those things that you see on social media now?
Well, definitely it's about grounding them. They need to know what's important and what's not. And they also need to, one aspect that I try to ground my daughters in is that they should know who they are.
Right.
And knowing who they are, once they understand that aspect, they won't need validation from anyone else. And usually once they know that this is where who I am, and this is where I'm coming from, and this is what I stand for. And if something is not right, it's okay to leave it, to move away from that.
Right. Okay. And that's important,
So for me, once they understand those aspects, they are grounded in those aspects, if you let go of them, they'll know. Like, for example, my daughters at school, they'll experience something that's out of the norm. They are free to come to me and sit down with me and say, "Daddy, I experienced this. What do you think about it?" And sometimes it's uncomfortable situations.
Yes.
Okay? They are very uncomfortable situations, but you would look at it this way. Would you rather get angry, shout at them and say, "Hey, you shouldn't be talking about this," or just sit down and have a civilized conversation to say, "Look, this is not supposed to be the norm. So when you see something like this, you need to look deep down in yourself and say, is this what I want?"
Right.
Because at the end of the day, we need to ensure that our kids are happy. But them being happy doesn't mean we need to give them leeway to do anything and everything.
Yes. Right. Yes. So you have taken the route of open conversation.
Yes,
because
definitely.
I mean, I think back to my own parents, your own parents. I feel like sometimes there was like hesitation to be like, can I ask after I heard this from school? Exactly. How do you balance parenting and this notion of like being your child's friend?
Definitely, I'll tell you one thing. My children know definitely that I'm not their friend. They know that. They know that I'm their father. Mm. But they know that they can approach me for anything.
Because what's important... I've had that problem with them where they're like, oh, I just have to tell my dad about this.
Yes. Mm. It's out of respect. Mm. Once your kids respect you, I don't think they'll have any problem with finding... difficult conversations. Yes, they are kids.
Yeah.
They'll find it difficult sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you need to make a conducive environment where they are able to open up. I'll tell you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're raised in the same house.
Yes.
And one of the principles that I carry into my house is because of the way you were raised.
Right, right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The one thing that my parents found difficult to do is to have certain conversations that involved, you know, boy-girl relationships. Mm-hmm. They found them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But they did it.
Did they do it with you?
They did it with the boys.
Exactly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. With the boys, they did it.
Yes, yes. With the girl, they...
Yes, with the girl, the girl was shielded.
Yeah.
The girl was shielded, but they really tried, especially when it came to my mother. It wasn't the parent-daughter-friend type of relationship. Mm-hmm. She used to come out, stand, but those were the times.
Yeah.
Because that's what she got from her mother,
that's true.
Going down. That was the way to go.
Mm.
But if you look at it now, those things have changed.
Yeah.
You can approach our parents and discuss certain things. You can take our kids to their grandparents and they'll have those conversations.
Right, right.
So times are moving. Mm-hmm. Now we are in an era where even if I'm not there, my child will go onto a computer and Google certain things.
Right, right. Mm.
So it's about the relationship that you have for your kid to come back to you and say, oh, daddy, I found this.
Right.
And they shouldn't fear, what do I call it, escorting. They shouldn't.
Yeah.
You should tell them it's fine, you found this, and explain to them why it's not in their best interest. To be privy to that information.
Right, right.
And in my household, I'm not that liberal, but I try to create a conducive environment where my kids are able to come to me and we talk about it.
Mm.
If I find a conversation is too difficult to have, I send my manager in charge of home affairs, my wife. My wife usually will tackle it. And if we need further guidance or just a different view away from ourselves so that our daughters are well-rounded, we call in the aunties.
Mm.
If that's not enough, we call in the grannies.
Mm. Mm.
So that's the type of structure that we are creating in this unforgiving era that we are in.
Mm, mm. Okay, so like I think what I'm hearing you say is that you have picked the traditional, the modern, and found like your place, like what is working for your family. Do you think, and it doesn't sound like you are, because I think when I look at you and your daughters, I don't think it's certainly the openness that I have like with dad. Even at that age, to ask those questions. Do you think your first instinct is to act like a traditional father and then you pull yourself back? Or have you really found that balance between being a traditional, or what we know as a traditional parent, so like old school? Have you found do you think that you initially react old school or new school and then you have to pull yourself back to be like, no, but I'm somewhere in the middle?
Okay, I'll tell you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start it from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the best parent I can be is actually measured by how my father and my mother raised me.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's the perfect parenting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so obviously, old habits die hard.
Yeah.
So when a situation comes up, even with my daughters, the first instinct is to act the traditional way.
Right.
But then I take a second to look at the situation in a more sober, relaxing and open view.
Mm-hmm.
For me then to pick a middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, for our time, when you say something to your parents, expect, if it's the wrong thing, expect a beating. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Expect a beating. Not that it was, what do you call it, a cruel beating. No, just a, you know, a little beating. He never hurt anyone those days. So I try by all means to look at a situation wholeheartedly and then try to look of a better way to resolve it in this era. And then if I feel I'm not getting to the level that I'm coming from an informed position, I consult. I mean, no one's perfect.
Okay.
I'll then consult and then approach it in that manner.
Okay. All right. Okay. You had spoken about your manager in charge of home affairs and that there are times where you call in aunties and grandmothers. Do you feel like there's enough relatable role models for your daughters today?
Definitely. If we are talking about my daughters, they, they've got strong female mentors in their midst. And that's why with my daughters, you find that the firstborn wants to be a lawyer. This is not something that just came up yesterday. This is something that she has dreamt about and nurtured from the time she was like, what, two? Then the other one wants to be a vet. This is not something that she has just dreamt about. This has been nurtured. So it's because of the strong female mentors around them. They see these people. They've got aunties who are entrepreneurs. They've got aunties who are lawyers. They've got aunties who are CEOs. You know, they've got a grandmother now who's a farmer. So they've got a grandpa who owns a farm and runs a farm. So they've got all these strong women who are in their midst. So I don't see a gap where my daughters will be influenced to pick on, for a lack of a better term, one of these social influencers. Because looking at even where I'm coming from, for my siblings and myself, when you asked us about the people we looked up to, we were not people who rushed to say, oh, I look up to Michael Jackson. No. We would always say we look up to our dad.
Yeah.
Or we look up to our mom. Or we look up to our uncle or an aunt. Because we come from a community-structured society. If you look at, sorry, I'm very passionate about Kamchanga Kalukanya. That's the model I follow. If you look at Kalukanya, everybody was your parent. You would leave and these are about how many houses, about 40, 50 houses in a street. You'd be at the end of the street and your parents wouldn't be,
be there.
Wouldn't be worried because they knew you were at some auntie something's house.
Right.
And you knew how to behave there because if you behaved in a funny way, the story was going to get back home and you were going to be scolded for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the type of society we are coming from. We had very strong role models. They were entrepreneurs at the time. They were inspectors of school at the time. You had teachers. And those days, teachers were the big thing. So from there, you can tell that the way we are raising our kids, though now we don't even know our neighbors, but because of that positive influence where they are either with an aunt, they are either with their grandparents and all that, they're able to pick up these traits.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you have mentioned how they have these good examples. So I am always of the view that I feel like the boy child has been forgotten. And I know your daughters are young, but do you ever think they do not have a, I don't want to use the word worthy, but a comparable match in the boy child? Because so much has been poured into the girl child at the moment that it seems like we are forgetting the boy, right? Do you ever worry? Like, because you and I have had a conversation about me and the vultures you think are there out in the world. Do you think your daughters, with the investment that is being made in the girl now, do you think there is a worthy comparison for them in a boy right now? Obviously, they are young. This is future.
Yeah. Well, if we look at it from an aspect, even mm-hmm. an aspect of, let's say, BEE, the mm-hmm. Black Empowerment mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that happens in mm-hmm. Namibia, South Africa, and then mm-hmm. you would find that to empower the girl child,
mm-hmm.
definitely the boy child has been left out there. Mm-hmm. But then we need to look at society
mm-hmm.
as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
It's a male-dominated society.
Right.
Everything favors the male.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
so by empowering the females, mm-hmm. we are trying to leverage the whole playing field.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do I feel the boy child has been neglected?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Do I feel there are not enough role models for a male child?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of role models.
Mm-hmm.
It's time we drove the agenda of the future is female.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
need to give the girl child a platform to thrive
mm-hmm.
and also to believe. I always like using this.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start teaching the girl child to love herself first.
Mm-hmm.
Before anything else.
Mm-hmm.
A male child from inception, when you're just a little boy,
mm-hmm.
you are taught to be a man. Mm-hmm. Not formally,
mm-hmm.
but everything. You're a man. You can't be here. You can't do this. You're a man. Do
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of that point being driven home to say you're a man, we are coming to a situation where the girl child is also being empowered.
Mm-hmm.
So now the girl child is at the top.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere. Where mm-hmm. you go, there are a lot of female leaders. Even
yeah.
in firms, mm-hmm. you have a lot of female CEOs who are making headlines all
mm-hmm.
over.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important now
mm-hmm.
for us to relate to the male child to say,
mm-hmm.
look, this is happening. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean you are any less.
Ah.
It just means
mm-hmm.
the female child is equal.
Right.
Gone are the days where you expect, sorry, and I'm going to say this.
Mm.
Gone are the days where you expect my daughters
mm.
To be in the kitchen. That's a thing of the past.
Mm.
And this is something that I've constantly
mm.
even told my own sister
mm.
to say, you're good enough.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're not only good for marriage. No.
Mm.
And that's one aspect, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
that has driven the male child not mm-hmm. to be pushing as much. Because
right.
everything is laid down for them on the table.
Right.
You're a man.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. you need to pick a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't pick a wife is nobody. No.
Mm-hmm.
A lady without a husband, a lady, she can be career driven. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the important word
mm-hmm.
is as long as she's happy.
Right.
That's okay. what we need to start driving at. Mm. Even for my daughters.
Yeah.
I'll give you a funny situation where mm. my daughters, one of my daughters had an iPad and then she broke it.
Mm-hmm.
She was terrified
because mm-hmm.
she knows daddy breaking mm-hmm. this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually she told me, but mm-hmm. with apprehension.
Mm-hmm.
I said, look, was anybody hurt?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So you have to drive. A person has to, it's happiness first.
Right.
Always.
Okay. Now, where you're talking self-worth and happiness and you are enough. So your daughters are 6 and 10. Have you found that you need to start now? Because I ask this because I think for a girl, there are certain things when your mother tells you, you feel like she's just talking. But when your father tells you, like you really believe it. So for you, how are you having that conversation of self-worth and you are enough with your daughters?
Well, for me, from a young age,
mm-hmm.
they've always known that when daddy and mommy speak,
mm-hmm.
they speak at an equal footing.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say stuff, they know.
Mm-hmm.
That this is important for their own well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So from that point, it's more of just relating to them.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
relate to them, find mm-hmm. out their interests, relate to them.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point, you take it from there.
Okay. Do you ever find that you think maybe if it was a boy, this situation would have been, and not that they are not enough, right? But you know, there are hard situations that you are dealing with, and particularly as they are growing in terms of things like safety.
Yeah.
And not that the boy doesn't need protecting, but I think often the instinct to protect a girl seems greater. And I say this because you hear of these horror stories when children, particularly girl children, find themselves in the hands of these monsters. How do you balance allowing them to experience life and you protecting them?
That's a tricky one.
And are you ready? Remembering our conversation.
No.
From a week and a half ago,
I'm definitely not ready.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tricky situation, because the world is changing. It's not even from the external part of it, people, strangers they'll meet.
Mm.
It's also from the internal part.
Mm.
It can be from your household.
Mm-hmm.
It can be from people close to you.
Yeah.
So, as much as I want them to experience the world,
mm-hmm.
I'm not ready to.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I've put in the mechanisms, I'll tell you little things
mm-hmm.
like from a young age,
mm-hmm.
I've always, with my wife,
mm-hmm.
we've always trained our daughters never to sit on people's laps,
mm-hmm.
not even myself.
Mm-hmm.
When they are bathing, they have gone to bath, they need to close the door.
Mm-hmm.
When they are moving in the house, they need to be in a towel, they would mm-hmm. need to be properly covered. Mm-hmm. Those are mechanisms that we actually picked up from church,
mm-hmm.
from the father. One day he was preaching and he talked about, look, a predator
mm-hmm.
is not only from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
A predator can even be the father.
Mm.
A predator can be an uncle.
Mm.
So it's from that perspective that we built in these mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of them experiencing the world, like my daughter was supposed to go on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm ready for that, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
As much mm-hmm. as I trust she'll be okay,
mm-hmm.
I think I'm not ready to let her experience that. Maybe when she's a little bit older,
right?
I'll explore that options. For now, no. For now, I'd rather teach her how to like further enhance the teachings that she's got on how to take care of herself,
mm.
how to take care of her things and all that. In terms of predators, she knows that. Even my youngest, who's like turning six, she knows, never talk to strangers, but
mm-hmm.
once in a while, she'll talk to someone, and you're like, don't talk to strangers.
Mm-hmm.
So it just needs a little bit of reinforcement. But in terms of letting go at this time,
mm-hmm.
10 and six, no.
Do you think when you read things in the news or you read statistics, you feel like protecting even more?
Yes. They startle me. And that's why, it's because of actually that view that I can't let go of them now.
Right.
To go to a far off place for 4 or 5 days. I can't.
Mm.
It's because of the world is changing at an exponential rate. You know what I mean? Things are happening too fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why each time you read, it was a teacher did this, a priest did this.
Mm.
I'm not ready to let my daughters go into such an environment. And it can also be a cousin. So even places that they visit, we have to do due diligence
mm-hmm.
to know who's going to be there,
mm-hmm.
Who are they going to come across,
mm-hmm.
a place that has got garden boys and all that. We always have to check those aspects.
Those places, yeah. right.
It's a scary world for a girl, Dad. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
It's a scary world. I'm not saying it's less scary for...
Right, not for a boy.
Yeah, for a boy.
Mm.
Yeah, it's equally the same because even a boy can be, you know, taken advantage of and all that. But for a girl, it's really heightened. And then you've got I won't mention names, you've got foreigners that believe in once they abuse these kids, they get either riches from that or they cleanse themselves. So it's a scary world out
there. Okay, so I mean, knowing how you're trying to protect and how, and I'm sure sometimes they're getting growing pains. Like, you remember how your youngest was not supposed to go on a trip out of town, and then she came back and insisted that she must go on a day trip.
Definitely.
Where do you let go a little bit?
And for me, this that's why it was important for me to mm-hmm. mention that I've got a whole list mm-hmm. of strong women that mm-hmm. I consult.
Mm-hmm.
So if we discuss it with the mother mm-hmm. and we are of the view that our two girls shouldn't go somewhere
mm-hmm.
and they come out and say, look, dad, you're being unfair.
Mm-hmm.
This is a small trip. Let me go. We consult
mm-hmm.
and hear other views. If right. the other views are better than ours, they are more positive than mm-hmm. negatives. I mean, mm-hmm.
Right.
You let go a little bit. Let okay. them experience. You don't want to really overcrowd them and keep them in a space where they are also not developing.
Yeah.
They are also
yeah.
not learning new things. Mm. So, mm. yeah.
Okay. Kachi Hande is recorded and produced by Vibecast Podcast Network. Vibecast ZM is Zambia's premier podcast network. Get in touch with Vibecast on 0979-591899. Or email production@vibezm.com. You can also search for Vibecast ZM on all social media platforms. Vibecast, making it possible for you to tell your stories. Now let's continue this conversation. So I was having a conversation with someone and they felt like as a man, they felt a little bit unprepared to be a husband and a father. And they took the view, like, unlike women who, it seems like girls from the first time, from when you are small, you are given like a doll to take care of. So you start learning how to take care of things, and home, being a whole, taking care of a home is kind of taught to you. Do you think that, and this is obviously not taking away from your parents, but do you think that you men are adequately prepared to be husbands and fathers?
Are we talking general or are we talking about my experience?
Oh, both. Maybe give us both.
Okay. So from my experience mm-hmm. Point of view,
mm-hmm.
I think men are prepared.
Really?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
Why would you say that?
I say that because, like I told you,
mm-hmm.
I was raised in a community type right. of setup.
Right.
So you were taught a certain structure
mm-hmm.
and what a boy is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Were you taught that like directly, or do you think you learned it from observing?
Both.
Okay.
I was taught, and I'll tell you something. Mm. That's why I tell you that my mentor
mm.
is my father and of course my mother, because mm. growing up,
mm-hmm.
these things were laid out to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Both indirectly mm-hmm. and directly.
Mm-hmm.
You would be sat down and told, look, if you're going to go about it this way, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to even manage your house.
Yeah, right, right, okay. right.
Because right. From a young age, I remember sitting down with my father and my mm-hmm. brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if my sister was there. Mm-hmm. No, I think you were there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my father saying, you people need to tell me when you're going to finish your education, at what time, and mm-hmm. what you think you are going to study and how long it's going to mm-hmm. take. I was fairly young,
mm-hmm.
but we're able to jot down something and say, oh, by this time I should be in university, by this time I should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And my father just rightly told us, and my mom was there, mm-hmm. and said, guys, after this point, if you're not done, there'll be no money for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make sure you work hard
yeah.
and you prepare yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And also you should know that when mm-hmm. you're leaving my house,
mm-hmm.
you're not carrying anything.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be fortunate enough to carry probably a suitcase. But mm-hmm. if you carry even the mattress you sleep on and your bed,
mm-hmm. you'll
be fortunate.
You'll be
very lucky.
Yeah, you left just your clothes. And,
yes.
Except me, who stole from mom her yes. kitchen stuff.
But you see, from that point,
mm-hmm.
It puts in a sense of responsibility in you to say, look, right. actually, I need to work hard to have my own stuff. I mm-hmm. need to follow a structure. Mm-hmm. And even in our house as well, we're brought up. Mm-hmm. You were taught to clean.
Mm-hmm.
You were taught to have a structure on income.
Mm-hmm.
You were taught how to keep things, mm-hmm. how to take care of your young siblings mm-hmm. and all that. So all that was preparing you.
Right.
In general, the households that I visited and what I see
mm-hmm.
from my peers alike,
mm-hmm.
they've got the concept.
Right.
At inception. They've mm-hmm. got the concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I think it's that feeling of they never knew it would come at a certain point.
Okay. Okay. So you've mentioned that conversations were had with you. Is it the same? Like if you speak to your peers, did they experience the same direct preparation? Or does it vary?
It varies.
Okay.
Some didn't. Because remember in our time, mm-hmm. we had parents that took their children as friends.
Yes,
it was
a hi.
Mm-hmm. Somebody comes home, oh, hi, where'd you are? And they go their separate ways. Mm-hmm. One is on a video game. The father is boozing, comes back. No meaningful conversations. Yes, mm-hmm. there were people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? Because mm-hmm. remember, in certain households like mine, we mm-hmm. were prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's why even today, I always think my parents were fortune tellers.
Mm-hmm.
They could predict the future
mm-hmm.
because they told us certain things. They said, look, that mm-hmm. family where you see them being liberal like that,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they will go far.
Yeah.
Those people will amount to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And come 2022, where are those people?
Yeah.
Those people are struggling to make a home, to make a career, to make mm-hmm. anything out of their lives because they mm-hmm. were ill-prepared.
Yeah.
They thought having parents was sort of having a friend. You know,
right.
Ah, hi, and mm-hmm. all that. Mm-hmm. Hey, where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
Your father sometimes comes with booze.
Mm-hmm.
He gives you some, you drink, you laugh, you take the car, just like that. It wasn't mm-hmm. structured.
Mm-hmm.
So I have peers like that.
Yeah.
And believe you me, they're struggling now.
Mm-hmm.
Were they not prepared?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't in those circumstances.
Right. So seeing what some of your peers went through and how you were, do you think that you are deliberate in your preparing your daughters for the future? And this is now you, a man, raising girls.
Yes, I am. I'm very deliberate because I'm looking at where I'm coming from
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and how the teachings that I was given have the impact that they've had on me, the effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying now to make that relatable to my mm-hmm. daughters because I know how important it is. They may not know it now,
mm-hmm.
but they'll appreciate it later
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
they'll know that, oh, actually, what my father and my mother were trying to do is actually A, B, C, D,
mm-hmm.
was to lead me in this direction. I'll give you, for example, things like grades.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our growing up, my parents would say, you just need to do well in school.
Mm-hmm.
From a young age, you need to do well in school. Don't be lazy, dude. But they never really got down to the purpose, why I was doing it.
Right.
Okay. It was just about get an education.
Mm-hmm.
But now it has evolved.
Yeah.
We know it's not just about getting an education.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being resourceful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
But as much as you want to be resourceful,
mm-hmm.
I'll underline that word again.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be happy.
Mm.
It's about finding that balance. You
right.
need to be happy. When
right.
you're happy, you're more productive.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
So it's because of that. So for me, I approach it that way. I sit down with my daughters and I tell them,
mm-hmm.
do you know why I'm telling you to get good grades?
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, okay, I won't lie. My daughters get good grades, but competitively,
mm-hmm.
not so well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to tell them, why am I pushing, even though you got 85?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I pushing for you to get at least 95? It's mm-hmm. to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So that once you get your basic education, then you can venture from there. You can mm-hmm. become a YouTube
content creator.
You can. Now the world is endless.
Yeah.
It's just that you have to have the basic grounding.
Right.
You can't be a content creator if you don't know how to budget.
I know, that's true.
So you'll be making all this money, but
it's then going what? Nowhere. Okay.
So you need to know the basics first.
Okay. Now, and now that you've brought up less conventional ways, do you think you don't do you think you have fears about career choices? And I say this with the backdrop that your youngest once wanted to be a Les Saloon girl. Do you think, because remember, we were still in a time where they wanted something defined.
Definitely.
Do economics, do law. If one of yours came and said they wanted to just be a YouTuber, are you ready for that? Do you think a part of you is like, but first get a degree in something that I can understand?
Okay, so looking back, mm-hmm. we'll start from, you know, you need mm-hmm. to understand the past for you to mm-hmm. understand the present and where you're heading to. Mm-hmm. We need to look at back then. Back mm-hmm. then we were limited.
Yeah.
If you didn't have a degree.
Yeah.
If you didn't have a degree, a diploma,
mm-hmm.
you really wouldn't get, you were not going to be employed in any meaningful occupation.
Mm-hmm.
But now the world is endless.
Yeah.
So for me, it's about the basic education.
Okay.
They need to have a basic education.
Okay.
Just for them to understand how the world works.
Right.
We were being told to go into economics. You need to know how the world economy mm-hmm. functions. Mm-hmm. Without that, mm-hmm. you won't know how to invest whatever you make your income out, you know?
Mm.
So for me, it's about them understanding the basics. They need to know the basics.
Okay.
If they want to be a saloon girl, mm-hmm. I've got no problem with that, but own the saloon.
She wasn't ready to own it at the time.
Own the saloon.
The time she
so
did
that
want to
is
own it.
So for me, the way she came, the mother was livid, yes.
Mm.
For me, I took it differently.
Right.
It's about making her understand, why mm. can't you just be a saloon girl? Will you be able to sustain yourself? Will you be able to look after your family? Because remember now, mm-hmm. a girl child mm-hmm. is an equal at the table.
Yeah,
That's the agenda I personally drive, is an mm-hmm. equal. So they need to know, are they going to be able to take care of their family?
Mm-hmm.
Things happen now. Are they able to fully function? And
right.
while they are doing that, are they going to be happy?
Right.
So if they, like, for example, my oldest daughter wants mm-hmm. to be a lawyer, mm-hmm. a YouTuber mm-hmm. and all that, I've got no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But she needs to get her basic education first. She needs to understand the dynamics of the world economy.
Okay. And in terms of your life lessons, so you've talked about your parents being your mentors. And I ask this from the perspective of, I once found, like Auntie Kaluba once had this book tucked away in the house saying, single mother raising only boys. Where do you draw your lessons from? Just your mentors? Do you read? Do you?
Definitely, you have to seek knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I read about it.
Mm-hmm.
If something, I see that a certain topic is beyond me, and mm-hmm. I can't really source that information from the support system around me.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I go into reading.
Mm-hmm.
I read about girl children, mm-hmm. When I should expect certain tantrums, how I can react to certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one situation that I wasn't ready for is the talk about boys, but we've already had that. You see what I mean? But in the old days, you would find that that would happen a little bit later.
Right.
But that has already happened in my household.
Right,
we've
right.
We've got a six-year-old who's always telling you who she loves at a certain point. But you just have to, like, for example, that information, how mm-hmm. to react to that, I got it from my wife and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
I had to sit down. Of course, I was livid.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was able to consult my support system, and they told me, look, these are kids at an informative age.
Right.
You need to understand where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
If you act out of anger, you're mm-hmm. pushing them away.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
need to accommodate them and listen to their views.
Mm-hmm.
Then tactfully, you can now tell them your views at their level.
Right. Okay, so you read, you look to those that have come before you. How does fatherhood impact even things like work? And I say this, like, since I started work all those years ago, and, you know, you can have situations at work where you're like, nala file kafi. And when you look at your risk factors, you're like, okay, me, it's just my dogs, and I can just give them away. But in terms of how you interact even in the workplace, how does fatherhood and the responsibility that it brings, how does that drive your reactions and interactions, even in the workplace?
They definitely they definitely require you to act in a mature way,
mm-hmm.
Where you evaluate your surroundings, evaluate mm-hmm. the aftermath of your actions.
Right.
Should you decide, you don't really react in an abrupt way, mm-hmm. as in the past. I'll tell you an example. I used to work for this other organization,
mm-hmm.
and at some point, mm-hmm. This supervisor of mine just drove me to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, we're just, you know, where this person just calls you and just starts being unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were speaking, I just got out a paper, mm-hmm. and I wrote my resignation. As the person was done, I handed in my resignation.
Mm.
And after that, I didn't think about my consequences.
Mm-hmm.
After
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, I went to live with my brother. I wasn't married then. Mm-hmm. I went to live with my brother and everything was all good. And I was looking for another job.
Mm.
But when you have a family,
mm-hmm.
and people depending on you, not that mm-hmm. my wife doesn't work or mm-hmm. anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be a leader. I'm supposed mm-hmm. to lead by example.
Right.
Even the way I react, the way I carry myself, the way I do things should mm-hmm. be of a high standard.
Right.
Okay. It should mm-hmm. be of a transformational leadership type of mm-hmm. Reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So bring the years forward, I had another encounter like that where I could have just, you know, just quit and mm-hmm. walked away. But mm-hmm. I looked at those factors and said, look, I've got young kids who mm-hmm. are looking up to me.
Mm-hmm.
The way I do things, they're going to later on, the same way I'm sitting here talking mm-hmm. about my parents, mm-hmm. they're also going to sit and talk about mm-hmm. me as their parent to mm-hmm. say, this is how my father would have reacted. So it sort of structures the way you look at things.
Right.
You sort of like take a backseat mm-hmm. and rethink situations.
Mm-hmm.
And like I told you,
mm-hmm.
it's a situation where now you need to evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
Am I happy doing what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth the stress that I'm going through?
Mm-hmm.
Or should I maybe take a step back mm-hmm. and concentrate on what's important?
Right.
Because as a parent, especially in this era where mm-hmm. we are experiencing the great resignation,
mm-hmm.
all these disruptions,
mm-hmm.
The COVID, the pandemic, everything. You now look at what really matters.
Mm-hmm.
It's your family.
Yeah.
And you need to provide for the family.
Right.
So you find alternatives to maintain that support for your family.
Right.
Because your family needs to sort of flourish.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to maintain that. So you look to other avenues, but quitting is not even an option.
Right. Okay. Do you think you are providing a sufficient measure for what your daughters are supposed to be, will later look for in a man?
Of course I'm going to be biased to yes, I am.
So like looking at yourself now, if your daughter brought you copy and paste, would you be happy with that man?
I would.
That's such a confident thing to say.
Yes, I would. And I'll tell you.
Really?
Yes.
Not even without a panel beating this side and shaping
I would,
up.
Mm-hmm. Because the road towards being the father that I am today mm-hmm. took mm-hmm. a lot of sacrifices along the way.
Right.
There are a lot of things, believe you me, I would love to do today.
Mm-hmm.
We just had a long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to be out there partying and
mm-hmm.
not really caring.
Mm-hmm.
My peers do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to set an example for my daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, an uncle of mine
mm-hmm.
Told me this some years back. He said, mm-hmm. the way
mm-hmm.
a man loves his wife,
mm-hmm.
sets an example for how the children are going to relate to their own spouses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to set that example, especially them being girl children.
Mm-hmm.
They need to understand that love is not about beating the mother.
Mm-hmm.
I've never mm-hmm. laid hands on their mother.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been married 11 years, known each other for more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about 15
mm-hmm.
years or so. Never laid my hands on them. So
mm-hmm.
it's important to set that example from inception.
Mm.
They need to know that mm-hmm. A woman is an equal in the home.
Mm-hmm.
you can have your own opinion. And somebody who truly values you will listen to your opinion.
Right.
Yes. Will you disagree? Yes. Mm. It's normal. Mm. People disagree.
Right.
But they need to know that I have an equal voice and I'm an equal partner in a relationship. So you set the tone.
Okay. Do you ever think the pressure to remain that example is too much?
Yes, it is.
And so I mean, because sometimes you're like, "Dimon dana kan dimon tufie." Do you feel like, "No, but I must keep going?" Or sometimes they're just like, "Ah, nafibe."
The pressure is too much, but the encouragement actually comes from the girls themselves.
Okay.
Because they will sometimes just come and tell, "Oh, wow, dad, you really love mom, eh?"
Or like your anniversary card.
Yeah, you know? So that shows you that you're actually doing something right.
Right.
And that gives you the encouragement to go on.
Right.
Because then you know they are getting those, it's being engraved in them that what is right is right. And what is wrong is wrong.
Right. Okay. No, that's good. That's good to hear. If you could give a father advice, father to girls. So I'm emphasizing the fact that you are a father of girls because, like, I just think that maybe being a girl myself, right? There are certain needs which I think are different from a guy. If you could speak to a girl dad now in terms of what sort of things you think are important for them to do, what would those things be?
Number one, what has helped my family is letting the girls choose clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Let them choose clubs. And this most especially Girl Guide. Girl Guide really helps a girl child because all those conversations that as a dad you're very scared to have, Girl Guide provides for those. They teach them how to be a young lady, how to take care of themselves, and how to notice certain behaviors, predators and all that. So it's very important. Then number two, create that time. Don't be an absentee father. As a young father, I don't know where young is, because I believe I'm an old father. But for the young dads, there's always that thing of wanting to be part of the crowd in being out there and all that. I think for girl dad, it's very important to spend time with the girls. Of course, we wouldn't want, we don't have that much room to spend time with them. For example, if your daughter is below a certain age, it's practically impossible to take her out and, you know, enjoy what boy dads enjoy. Like they go for a soccer match and all that, because there's always that aspect of taking her to the loo, know, all that. Those are restrictions. But after a certain age, when the child is able to take care of themselves, I mean, why not? Create that time. Spend
Now that you've said that, I mean, how do you, okay, now that they're older, but when they were younger, how do you navigate that? Which toilet do you take them? Do you take them to the gents or do you take them
Believe
to the...
Believe you me, it's a lot of calculations there. But what I usually used to do if I go to a place, a restaurant, usually, and you know, this is what I'm saying, you usually find women folk who are willing to help you.
Right.
So, you just come with your daughter. Oh, she's going to the loot. I'll take her.
Right.
But in terms of where there is no one to take her, you can take her into the boys.
Because I think I have noticed the man, I think he was announcing himself in the corridor.
Yeah.
Coming through. Ladies, coming through. And I think he had no choice but to take her to the ladies.
Yes.
But he was announcing.
Yes, if the male bathroom has got
urinals
and men, they are full. You can go into the female, but then you announce. That's another way. You announce to say, and usually women are very accommodative. They'll be like, oh, okay. And they find that intriguing because it's not every time that you find a father and a daughter actually hanging out together without the mother. But we need to make that a norm.
Right. Yeah,
remember,
that's true.
We are trying to make a girl child comfortable.
Right.
We need to get them to the same advantage level as a male. as an equal. Yeah.
Okay. So your oldest is a couple of years from being a teenager. What are you scared of?
Definitely, I'm scared of the tantrums. I'm scared of when she starts to discover herself. Obviously, even now, we are noticing that there are times when she really doesn't want you to restrict her.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my fears, the rebellious years.
Mm.
Obviously, that's my biggest fear. But with the foundation that we are laying now, I'm sort of confident that we'll bear those years, because then she'll know to say, even though this man is irritating me, he means well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because I mean, now when I look at her now, I'm like, shh. Then one day she's going to go to university.
Definitely.
And we will not police who she's hanging out with and what time she'll go to sleep. So, I mean, I'm hearing you say the foundation is what is giving you confidence to that she'll be fine. But, okay, I mean, I don't know whether you can like always roll out this fear, because there are people who we knew, right?
Yeah.
The foundation seemed like it was fine, but they still went left. Does that scare you, or are you, or do you think that maybe the foundation was not as solid as we thought?
For me, I look at the background.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If the background wasn't solid, then wherever they will go, they are bound to stray from the set values.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that makes people stray is because they don't know who they are.
Right. Okay.
They don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are in a society now, I call it the Instagram society, you know, where everybody's trying to be somebody they are not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that on the onset, you tell your kids to say, look, I mean, I'm following a blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that was taught to me,
where
from the initial step, you were told to say, look, we don't have to have this for you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know that your grounding is like this. You're able to have a meal. You're able to do this. You're able to do this. In actual sense, you're wealthy, because you're able to afford three course meals.
Yeah.
You're able to have a roof over your head.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a nice school.
Yeah.
Not the most expensive school, but you go to a nice school. You're able to have a school bag.
Yeah.
You're able to have carry lunch.
Mm.
You're okay.
Mm.
Anybody who tells you otherwise is lying to you, because these are the basics.
Right.
Anything above that, can you believe it? My daughters know what they need and they want is.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with them yesterday, and one of them said, no, I don't want to go there because it's overpriced. When she said that, I was like, that's Ama.
Yes, because you tell them this. It's not like I won't go there. I'll take them there, but they'll know. To say, oh, we're coming here. It's not a necessity we have to be here.
Right.
It's because we just want to be here and have a nice time.
Okay.
So once they understand the concept,
they'll live
on with it. I mean, in our time, we had people with big satellite dishes. But they made but our parents made sure they sat you down and told you to say, we can afford that.
Mm.
But it's not a necessity.
Right.
You see what I mean? The necessity is taking you to school. Have you ever missed a day of school?
No.
And you're like, no. And when it was time to go to university, guess who didn't go? The guys who had the bigger satellite. Okay, not. I'm talking in general. So you need to give your kids a foundation.
Okay.
Especially the girl child. Because remember, the girl child is a victim.
Mm.
They're able to be misled
at
a certain point. You've got this, like in this, the Instagram society that we live in now.
Yeah.
You've got this boy coming to this girl telling them, oh, you know what? I can provide you with this.
Mm.
I can take you here.
Mm.
But if the girl child knows where they are coming from, where they are grounded, to say, you know what? To go to Dubai, I don't need this guy.
Mm.
I can actually work hard and afford myself to go there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
If I need a car, I don't need him to buy me a car.
Mm.
I can work hard and get my own car.
Mm.
If he buys me a car, it's just an added bonus.
Right.
If my husband buys me a car, it's an added bonus.
Mm.
But he shouldn't use that against me. Say, oh, so you're behaving like this. I won't buy you a car. Like, guess what? I can buy it myself.
Mm. Mm.
And believe you me, sorry to jump the thing.
No, no.
A man who finds an independent woman, mm-hmm. a woman who's able to bring something to the table, mm-hmm. believe you me, mm-hmm. there won't be any of those things like, hey, what? Hey, you what? Because it's an ego. It's a partner.
Right.
It's a partnership. Mm-hmm. And you're able to conversate. You're able to plan for the future. Because men, what we want is to be safe.
I thought we are the ones who want to be safe and you want to be respected.
Yes, you want to be safe and be respected. But remember, respect is not demanded.
It's that's earned. True. It's earned.
So you have to provide leadership.
Right.
And that's what I'm putting, I'm laying down for my daughters, is for them to be leaders,
mm-hmm.
not followers.
Leaders. Okay. All right. And I think, so I kind of like... the fact that there is like there is honesty in your parenting. Do you always feel like honesty is possible? And I ask this in from the perspective of like a conversation was had that this is not a like there's a difference between a need and a necessity. Do you still apply honesty everywhere? In your parenting?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. But one, I'll put a disclaimer.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, for them, it needs to be at their level.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go on, we'll be keep on pushing that boundary.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to first get the basics right.
Right.
For us to get where we are going.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in anything I do, my daughters will always come and say, I want this.
Mm-hmm.
And you are like, but do you really need it?
Right.
And as you tell them that for certain things that you can't get them because they're not necessary,
mm-hmm.
you need to tell them why. So
right.
you need to show them the investments to say, come, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Why we can't do this is because we are making this.
Yes.
Why are we making this? It's because at a later date,
mm-hmm.
it will have to come, apply some utility to you.
Right, right.
Some benefit. You
mm-hmm.
need to draw benefit from. From this investment that we've made. So they follow that.
Okay.
They are always with us through all the steps.
Right.
They need to understand the purpose, why mm. you're saying no to something,
mm.
why you're saying yes to something.
Mm. It's very important. I think your daughter once told me, no, I can't do this because my dad just paid school fees.
Exactly. Exactly. They need to know that.
Okay.
And at the same time, mm-hmm. I'll give you another example of where they are at school.
Mm-hmm.
And the accountant comes to their class and says, I need to speak to your dad.
Mm.
You shouldn't hide that from your children.
Yeah.
You need to take your choice. So you take your daughter to the accountant's office mm-hmm. and tell them, why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
No, the school fees were not paid. Check. Were they? No, we made an error. Then you tell her, you see. So we didn't need to be here because
mm.
this is taken care of.
Right.
And you tell them things like school fees, things like operations of the home,
mm.
things like rent, electricity, water. Those things are a necessity. You
mm.
have to pay those things.
Mm.
No one's going to pay them for you.
Mm. Mm.
That's how you become a responsible citizen.
Right.
You see, so my wife sometimes will laugh and say, but look, you're being extreme. But come on, if we don't teach them that, then they are open to any person coming to give them information that's not correct. It
right.
needs to come from our home.
Yeah.
Then when they go out there
yeah.
and they find additional information,
mm-hmm.
then they'll be able to connect it to say, oh, so this is what our parents were saying,
mm-hmm.
and that's why it's important, and this is the direction we should take.
Okay.
So it's very important to have those conversations.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, on an honesty note, thank you for your honesty and your openness to share your parenting experience. We'll check back with you in another 10 years when your oldest is 20.
Ish.
If you'll still be sane, if your hair will still be black, and if you have not gotten more dogs and a shotgun. But thank you so much for coming.
No, thanks for having me. It's very important that you don't work in isolation.
Mm.
It's very important that you have a support system.
Right.
That you are constantly consulting.
Yeah.
It's one thing we should learn is learning does not stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's forever. So
yeah.
you learn something new each day. So thanks for having me. It was a wonderful interaction.
No, thanks for coming. It's been real. We'll bring you back another time, maybe to talk about something else. But thanks for coming to Kachihande.
Thanks all right. for having me.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Kachihande. Please make sure you subscribe on Anchor, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Like and follow our Facebook page, Kachihande, to keep the conversation flowing. Share it with your friends, your family, your colleagues, and everyone around you. It's time we have those conversations we're too scared to have.